would you like to make immense impact with mobile home park investing and make as much money as possible in the process as well? Tim Woodbridge will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Tim is that he thinks most accredited investors are great at making money, but lose a chunk of it to taxes and lack a system for building passive wealth. And that's why at WCG Investments, he helps investors double their money over 5 years, keep more of what they earn through tax-advantaged investments, and create true financial freedom while improving affordable housing in America. And he handles everything. His company handles everything, and you collect checks and make an impact, which sounds really great. And not only that, you make a massive difference to communities in America that cannot afford to have like a proper home. So, Tim, tell us about mobile home park investing. Why is this a great strategy for property investors to make profits and make a massive difference?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with
property. First of all, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it and enjoy your energy and your show. And I'm just really thankful. So really, I mean, what we do is we make it so everyone's winning in our deals. So we, buy mobile home parks, affordable housing. We make the communities a little bit nicer for the tenants. So that's, our one win. And then we make it so our investors get great tax benefits. Like, we have the highest year one depreciation of any commercial real estate asset. So we're saving our investors anywhere from, 1 to 1, meaning, you invest $100,000 and you get negative $100,000 on your K-1 from us. Plus, really, one person last year had $150,000 for a $100,000 investment. So, yeah, we're able to get a ton of depreciation for people. We have a really steady income. So they cash flow very well, some of the best of all the commercial real estate assets. So we're able to, give our investors monthly distributions. It's just such a great opportunity. I mean, they're not making any more of these. There's ever increasing demand for affordable housing. So, we are doing our best to just set us and our investor partners up for, long-term success in this asset class.
Thank you. First, tell us, where can a property investors find great mobile home parks to invest in? Because I think that there's a lot of like zoning and different planning permissions you need to have, and you can't like do this everywhere. Plus, I think even if you get like a permit to have these mobile homes placed in a certain place, you only get temporary permit, like 3-4 years or something. And by my calculations, it can take 3-4 years to get your investment back. And then you're basically just making profit the entire time. But please correct me.
Yeah. So there are two different things, right? So like, first, let's talk about, say you're like, man, I am a W-2 worker. I want to do what Tim did, because, I quit my W-2 4 years ago. I was a nurse and technically still a nurse, right? Anyway, so say you like that's the path that you're looking for. Then it's really just find existing mobile home parks. Don't try and build it from scratch, because it's a big uphill battle trying to do that. Find things that are out there, and we go through brokers a lot, the same like any real estate person does. You go through a realtor or a broker or whoever and see what they have available, and then you underwrite it and you make an offer. That's at the heart of it. That's all it is. Let's say like on the other side, you're a passive investor. You're you don't want to go and do all the hard work that we do, that we've done for years and have gotten really good at. You want to just skip all that. You have a great job or you have a great business and you want to keep that. You're good at making money. So hit us up or hit up lots of different syndicators where you can just put in passive, a passive investment, look at a deal that they already have under contract that they're already working on, talk to them, vet them, make sure that their operations are super solid. And then, you know, when you're comfortable with them, with the deal, with everything, then yeah, you just put your money to work for you. So like everything, you know, everything we do, there's nothing passive about what we're doing. Like we're very hands-on on everything. And we do that so our investor partners don't have to be, so they can give us, you know, put their money to work for them in our deals and, you know, get like a monthly report and get a monthly dividend. And all they have to do is, you know, read that report and make sure that they're understanding things, hit us up if they have any questions. But yeah, we do everything to make sure it's super, super a no-brainer for people.
Thank you. So let's say if you wanted to invest in a mobile home park, how does it work in terms of like how much money you would need and as a minimum? Because I, from my investigations, what it seems is that let's say if you want to just start with one mobile home, you need perhaps $20,000. You get it from China, and then I'm not sure how much it costs. Install it in like in a place, and also you need all sorts of planning and permissions, and it's like an uphill battle, like you said. And let's say if you were to go through this strategy that you just mentioned, where you just buy an existing mobile home park, then when you're saying park, you mean like multiple homes that are in a mobile home. You're buying shares, basically, mm-hmm. like an equity in this deal that is like a deal, a collaborative deal with other property investors. That's what you would offering. You were offering, right?
Yeah. So we do either syndications or we're opening up a fund as well. So basically, we pool money from a lot of different people into buying this bigger deal. So instead of with an individual mobile home, if someone's not paying, all of a sudden you got 100% vacancy, 0% occupancy, right? Like if someone just leaves. So we like things to be a lot more safe and a lot more stable. So we buy bigger, we will buy a park, and the park will consist of, anywhere from a couple units, though we don't have anything that small, to, 100, 200 units. So we're really only focused on right now 100 plus, sometimes only 200 plus, depending on the market. And that just makes it a lot more stable. You know, if you go back to that one $20,000 investment you have, though, you totally can't buy a mobile. Well, you can't buy a new mobile home for $20,000. Not any place that we buy. Plus, you got set up and all that stuff. But anyway, say, you put money into a mobile home and then someone beats it up and then leaves, and then you got to put a whole ton of more money into it, and you're losing money by not having it rented out or whatever, and it keeps you up at night. So what we've learned over the years that we've been doing this is that it's much more stable, much more repeatable process, it much more something that doesn't keep us up at night when you have kind of bigger portfolios of people paying.
Thank you. So the whole idea is that you're not actually buying new mobile homes. You are buying basically the mobile homes are already there. The park is already there. And all, what exactly is it that you do? Do you like refurbish the interior, or do you actually buy new mobile homes to put in this mobile home park?
Sometimes both. So like at the heart of it, think of a mobile home park. You got a piece of land, and the piece of land is the real estate, is the commercial real estate. And, there's 100 spots on this piece of land, and you want to do your best to increase occupancy, which increases the revenue, right? So say we bought it and there was 50 homes that are there already that are park owned. 20 that are tenant owned, so people just renting the land, and then we have another 30 vacant spots. So what we would do is kind of depending on the deal, but probably a three-tier approach where we would take the people who are already there, we would slowly be raising their lot rent to increase the value of the land, the mobile home park, any vacant park-owned homes, we are going to refurbish and try to find buyers for them, like people who could live in them and buy them. We can sell on contract so we can, continue to make it really affordable living and lead someone on the path to home ownership. And then for all those vacant lots, we can bring in new homes and then either rent them or sell them to people depending on the circumstances. So yeah, there's different ways to do it, but at the heart of it is you want to increase your occupancy so your revenue goes up.
Thank you. I
Oh.
really like mobile home park investing because it sounds like you don't have to put a lot of cash up front, but you can. Like if you have like a large number of mobile homes, then you can, but you don't have to. Like you can start really small. And I'm wondering about how small can a property investor start with in terms of how much money would they need as a minimum?
So we'll talk about the two different ways again, right? So if you are going and you want to, you're like, I want to do what Tim did. I want to go buy a park. Then maybe you and a few friends can gather together. You can buy, a smaller park and really get your feet wet. Maybe buy something for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. Go to a local lender, they'll give you maybe 60 to 70% loan. You'll bring in the rest. You and your friends will bring in the rest and any kind of closing costs, stuff like that. So that is a very realistic opportunity, very doable. How I did my first park. And then like if you're looking to put money into someone else's deal, you don't have the time and you just want to make sure that you're maintaining your wealth. Like for us, we do minimum $50,000.
Thank you. Tell us about what should property investors know about mobile home park investing? Like, what are some like the Ten Commandments of what you need to know in order to make this work for you?
Yeah, so if you're investing passively, make sure you're vetting your operator. Make sure that, especially right now, make sure that their operations are really locked in. So, over the past few years, 2020, 21, 22, there are people who could just find deals and the market was so great that they could just kind of get by. That's not how it works anymore. You have to be investing with someone who knows all the ins and outs of the park or portfolio, the project, so they're able to maximize everything. Also, people who have had experience. I see a lot of relatively new people who say, "Oh yeah, this is going to be easy," and it's like it's not impossible, but it's not going to be easy. So, I think those two things are probably going to be your best things to look out for. Look at experience and look at how their operations are, how realistic they are.
Thank you. What are some surprising things you have learned about mobile home park investing? Some things that you definitely were not expecting.
Infrastructure is a big thing. Do thorough due diligence. We've learned from my mistakes to really front load all the due diligence to make sure that what you're buying is what you're actually buying. All sorts of stories on things being different. Like the reality is different than what people have been claiming. Other than that, there's a lot of like little things that happen here and there, and things are different depending on the county, depending on the municipality. So you got to be prepared to pivot if there's need to pivot. And I think the people who succeed now are the people who say, okay, here's our plan, but when that best case plan doesn't happen, because it never does, there's always some issue. What is our next move? So, like getting together with operators who can pivot to what makes sense when things go a little sideways.
Thank you. What's it like operating in the lower end of the market. And I'm talking about perhaps people who are living paycheck to paycheck, who perhaps, you know, they're just one paycheck away from not being able to pay the rent.
Yeah, that's a great question. Just before this, we were having our property management call. So we have an in-house property management company that we've, because every time we've tried to outsource that property management, it hasn't been good. And so what we've learned is that we really have to have great systems for bugging people who aren't paying. And that's kind of what it is. You know, we have a really, really good person in our property management team who is all he does is rent collections and make sure that people are paying. And if they're not, you know, how can we work with them? How can we make it so it's doable? How can we make it so we don't have to file evictions on them? Because really, like, that is the important thing, especially now, and especially, you know, if the market gets worse, if it softens, if there's recession, it's very, very important to ensure that your operations are dialed in and that you're communicating with your tenants and you're not just letting things go by, because that's how people will get in trouble.
Thank you. What does the client avatar look like in terms of demographics, like ages, countries they come from, and how long they tend to stay there? And does that vary based on the kind of conditions that you offer? Like, for example, I think, because I'm a super organized person, like wherever I live, even if I lived in a trailer park, I know I would want like so many boxes. I would want like so many like, ways to compartmentalize where I'm living so that I don't see any mess. I would like this kind of minimalist kind of style. And I'm wondering, are there any certain, let's call them luxuries, certain items that people who live there consider like so special, so good, that they are addicted to living there? They are, you can say, they love living in those properties because there is, I know, there is a TV or there's a really nice bed, or I don't know, there is something that is really worth it to them.
That's a good question. That's an interesting one. I haven't really been asked that one, so I like it. So first of all, I'll answer. Usually we have like blue collar workers, right? So people, small families, single mothers, you know, stuff like that. People who need affordability, and things that they enjoy, you know, just what I've noticed is really just the affordability of things, you know? So it's not like, hey, if you have this playground for the kids, it's going to make a stick around. Or if you have a pool or a clubhouse or something like that, it's going to make a stick around. More, it's the affordability of their day-to-day life. Because, you know, as people get squeezed more and more, that becomes ever, ever more important. And, you know, a lot of the people in our parks have been there 5, 10, 15 or more years. And so that's really the thing that keeps them staying there. You know, I've heard horror stories of like PE, private equity, going in, buying a park that's, you know, $300 under market rent. And then day one, they'll go up $400 per month. And it's like those are the people who are going to be moving out, who will move out their homes and all that sort of bad stuff. So really, at the heart of it, it's the affordability and like, can people live there comfortably? Can they live there when they're not stressed paycheck to paycheck? I think that's the secret to what we do and why it's so special.
Thank you. Do you find that, did you manage to like add anything to incentivize them to stay there as well? And I understand it's not like a primary motive for them to stay there. Affordability is the primary thing. But for example, do you have any like vending machines or anything else that you found kind of enables them, makes their life easier? Or is it that they have like a big space for like a garden or anything else that you find is like really, really exciting? For example, the thing that shocked me a little bit when I went to the US is how there are wide open spaces with nothing. It's just houses. And for me, it would be like impossible to live in a place like this. Like, I can't even imagine how I could live in a place without shops and, you know, hair salons and nail salons and, I don't know, supermarkets and malls and, you know what I mean? I can't even imagine it. But in the US, it's like a commonplace thing. And are there any specific amenities that you found were actually very useful? Is it that every house has like its own shower and so on, or are there like outdoor showers for people to use, or how does it work in terms of amenities?
I like that. That's a good question too. So yeah, really, like the bigger spaces, the more yard space they have, the happier people are going to be. That's just how it is, you know. They make mobile home parks that where all, you know, all the homes are super, super close, and there's nothing really you can do about that, unfortunately. But yeah, bigger spaces. All the houses have their own, you know, bedrooms and showers and all that stuff. So it's very similar to a normal house, you know, a site built house. It just happens to be made in a factory. But yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, well, when we're buying a property, we'll always figure, you know, what can we do to make this a little bit better for tenants? Last year we put in new roads in a couple of the communities. So it's like, it was all dirt, and we put in, you know, spend $100,000 to pave everything. So like stuff like that is a really big value add to people, you know, especially, say you buy a car and like this is the only car you have, so like making it so your car's not getting beat up by those dirt roads where they can actually drive on a regular road, that's a big value add for people.
Thank you. Is it important for your mobile homes to actually have a lot of space for cars? Because, for example, I live in the UK generally, and I don't think I've ever rented or, you know, bought any place that has a space for a car, because I'm not, I mean, I am a driver, I just choose not to drive. Okay.
Yeah.
And but whereas I think that in the US, if you don't allow for someone to actually have a space for a car, at least one, if not oftentimes up to six, I'm thinking, wow, how many people live here? You know, how many spaces for cars do you have to allow per mobile home when you're renting them out to make them feasible for people to actually live there?
Usually like a two car thing. We try to limit it, so we don't have the six cars, but you know, two to three is reasonable. I mean, and it, depending on where the park is located, you know, the idea of walkability is a pipe dream in a lot of places. And so it's like, you know, I've had a car since I was 16. I couldn't imagine not having a car. Like, that's how ingrained it is in me. And it's just kind of the culture. So yeah, we make sure that there's at least two parking spaces, if not more.
Thank you. How much return can property investors make? What is the range of return that you've seen people making from this kind of mobile home park investing deals?
So, I mean, we give our investors generally 16 to 22% IRR. What they can make, like if they bought it themselves and put in all the work, they can make more for sure. But like our motto is more, instead of like, we're not going to make people rich, but we'll keep them rich, and we'll make sure that they get a ton of great tax benefits too. So, you know, that's generally our range, 16 to 20% IRR.
Thank you. And how it works in terms of helping them to double their money over 5 years and keep more of what they earn? Is it through the depreciation aspect that you talked about? And is there anything else that you do in order to help them make this happen?
No, we keep it really simple and boring, right? We want it to be pretty easily digestible for our investor partners. So, you know, we give them a big tax write-off in year one. And then through cash flow and appreciation, you know, we sell at year five. They're doubling, you know, minimum is what we're shooting for, is to double people's money.
Thank you. Tell us about some of your most successful deals. Is there anything you can share about that in terms of case studies?
Yeah, of course, of course. So, one of my favorite deals right now is one we bought, and my partner Matthias said this is a great deal, and I didn't think so. I thought it was overpriced, but he underwrote it. He showed me why it's such a great deal, and we raised money for that, and that was our first deal that we bought where we raised capital. And we are in the process of refining it and returning everyone's money because we more than doubled the NOI over 2 years. And we have another one that we bought a few months after that one, and it's kind of the same thing. This one's all tenant-owned homes, but it's been a slow, steady kind of workhorse kind of mobile home park in that, it's just very, very steady. Not a lot of things have gone wrong. There's been some things that go wrong because that's just reality. That's deals. But the things that went wrong, we fixed, and it's such a great deal. And the same thing, we're looking to refi and return all of our investors' capital.
Thank you. Tell us, what would you tell other nurses that are thinking of becoming property investors? What are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned doing mobile home park investing?
I like that. That's a good question. So the first thing I say, like, if you're a nurse, and this is directly for all the nurses, remember how when you were looking to take your boards, to get your nursing license, and you kind of had to get into the mindset of the test instead of real life. I'd say kind of do the same thing in terms of real estate and entrepreneurship. Get out of the someone's telling me what to do and I'm going to be making this and my hour's worth this sort of thing. It's like, no, look out. Look, where do I want to be in 5 years? Where do I want to be in 10 years? Okay, like now I can go towards that. So give yourself a bigger time horizon than you think. And there's so much that can be done in 5 years. It's crazy. You just have to take that first step that's going to be scary. And there's no getting around it being scary. It's just that's part of it. It's going to be scary. It was scary to me. And just accept it and move with the scary.
Can I ask you, why did you choose mobile home park investing over other commercial deals?
Yeah, so I heard about it on the Bigger Pockets podcast, and Brandon Turner was talking with Frank Rolfe. And Frank was saying that he likes mobile home parks because you have a lower expense ratio, you have stickier tenants, they're not making any more of them generally. And besides that, it was a little different. It was a little weird. So when everyone was doing single family homes, I wanted to do something different. When everyone was doing apartments, I wanted to do something a little different. And it grabbed me.
Thank you. What makes mobile home parks different in terms of cash flow and being recession proof?
Yeah, so we cash flow much better than most other commercial assets, real estate assets, definitely better than traditional multifamily, better than just about anything. So that is one thing I really like about mobile home parks is that it has that steady recurring monthly revenue. And then let's see, what was the second part of your question again?
That it makes it, why does it make it recession proof? Why would you say it's recession proof?
Yeah, gotcha. It's recession resistant. Nothing's recession proof. If anyone tells you that it is, then they're full of it, I think. But because people need a place to live, and we have the most affordable option in town. And so, like when COVID hit, we didn't really see a dip in collection numbers like traditional multifamily did. So, when things go great, I want a mobile home park because I'm going to be cash flowing better. When things go poorly in the economy, I want a mobile home park because it's recession resistant and I want to keep getting that monthly recurring revenue.
Thank you. When you acquire an underperforming mobile home park, what aspects would you look to add value so that you can perhaps rent it at a higher price, or so you can resell it in a 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, small levers, right? So we don't do any big, oh, okay, it's only half occupied. We want to bring in another half, like all new mobile homes. It's too heavy of a lift for us. We don't want to do that. There's too many potential things that can go wrong. So we will, slowly but surely increase the rent. Like I said earlier, we look depending on the area, like how can we improve this park, whether it's roads or something similar. And it's just increasing that revenue and decreasing expenses. We're really good at it, and we've done it time and time and time again. And we're not really breaking the mold here. We just know that the better we operate them, the longer we hold, the more the better it's going to be valued. And overarching, so I see a lot of the writing on the wall with geopolitical stuff and the weakening of the dollar and stuff like that. And we're just doing our best to buy all of these mobile home parks because we are very confident in 5 years, in 10 years, they're going to be worth far, far more than they are today.
Thank you. Some mobile home parks may have a bad reputation because of the people that are living there. I'm thinking perhaps in some there are druggies or people who are perhaps keeping the place dirty, people who are not so educated, maybe people who drink, people who lost their home, I know homeless people. So I'm wondering, what can a property investor do to minimize the risk that these kind of people might ruin the entire neighborhood for other people that may
Sure.
be better tenants.
Sure. That's a good question. We screen very, very, very thoroughly. So a lot of front-loaded work on screening people as they get in. And then ongoing, it's just, maintaining open communication, making sure our local community manager is in the know. And they can report anything that looks off way before it becomes an issue.
Thank you. Are there any other changes that you make to the environment or to the houses themselves that significantly improve the quality of life, aside from the road that you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we're going in, we're fixing up the homes, we're putting some money into it. It depends on the circumstance, So everything that we have, we're looking at holistically. Okay, what are the levers we can pull to make this a nicer place to live for people?
Thank you. How did you go from your first park to 25 parks in a short span of time? How did you manage that?
Yeah, so really having really great partners, that has been the secret. So I was talking to someone earlier. 2 years ago, around this time, I had $15 million of mobile home parks under management. Now, because thanks to my team, we've tripled that, so we're at 45 million. And really, having people on my team who work at what they're really, really great at, because I'm good at it. I'm really good at a couple things, and I'm fine at a handful of other things. And really, just having my partners who are really great at what they do, like having, working side by side with them so we can all work together to make sure that our portfolio is humming along really nicely and making sure that we're able to continue to scale up. So that's been my secret is just working with people better than me.
Thank you. What criteria should property investors look at when it comes to mobile home park investing, aside from finding a great operator and some of the criteria that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so definitely, of course, find the great operator first. And then just look at the deal that they're presenting. Like, how realistic does that sound? Again, we keep it simple. Like, we don't want there to have to be some kind of big lucky thing to happen in order for the deal to perform. We want, to pull some realistic things, going up on rent slowly but surely. is very doable. So yeah, just check out their business plan. Does it make sense to like put yourself in their shoes, even though you don't know how to do it? Like, does it make sense? Does it seem like a feasible thing? Plus, also, if someone's saying that your returns are going to be through the roof, probably don't trust it.
Thank you. What are some mistakes that you've made or you've seen other property investors make when it comes to mobile home park investing that you know better to avoid now?
Good question also. So don't expect cash flow to pay for all the capital expenditures that are needed. In my second park, I thought that, you know, all these vacant homes we could renovate with the cash flow coming in from the park. But all that did was make us very, very nervous when it wasn't cash flowing as it should. And then, like, you know, it ended up being something where we couldn't actually do the renovations we wanted to do. So we definitely make sure we have all the capital, like, up front there so we can do the business plan as we go instead of hoping that it's going to be paying us back.
Thank you. What else would you like property investors to know about mobile home park investing?
Not much else, to be honest. I mean, it's a great, great asset class. It's, again, you know, it's like supply and demand. We own properties in a semi-dwindling supply because people are turning existing mobile home parks into apartments and whatnot based on highest and best use. And, you know, there's an ever increasing demand. Yeah, affordable housing. Everyone talks about the need for affordable housing. No one does anything about it except mobile home park owners, really. So, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer to us. We see it like, if there's always increasing demand and a fixed supply, then the value of what we have is going to get more and more and more. So, you know, if this sounds interesting to you, hit us up. Let's talk about how you can get involved.
Thank you. Which states can someone do mobile home park investing in?
Any of them. We focus on the Southeast, but there's mobile home parks in all states, even in California. Where I'm from originally, you know, you think everything's expensive. When, you know, I grew up in a mobile home park. My mom had bought a double wide in a park in Southern California. So yeah, they're everywhere.
What state are you talking specifically?
So I wasn't in California. I'm from California. So that's where this one was that my mom had a home in.
I mean, which area, I mean, are you currently investing in? Is it still in California?
No, not at all. Never invested in California. No, I live in South Carolina and we invest throughout the Southeast. So Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, those states are really, really good to invest in.
Tell me why these specific states are the chosen ones for mobile home park investing.
Well, because there's a big need for affordable housing, especially in these states. And really, they're pretty landlord fair in that, you know, if someone's not paying, it's relatively easy to get them evicted. It's like, you don't pay, you can't stay. There's not a but whatever. It's like, no, you kind of got to go. So it's really fair, is what we found. Plus, you know, it's where we know, it's where we like. You know, people can do great wherever they want to buy, because, you know, if you know all the ins and outs of where you're buying. Yeah, I know a lot of friends who buy in New York and do super well. I would never buy in New York. It's just, I don't want to. I don't have to.
Thank you. Tell us some risks that you were able to overcome, and what kind of measures did you put in place for mobile home park investing?
Well, I mean, you know, everything has risks. One of our deals, you know, we shut off the payments to ourselves. So our asset management fees, we shut off because we haven't been able to get the occupancy up to where it needs to be. And it's in a small town. And, you know, we didn't think it was going to be the best and the easiest, but it's a little bit harder than we thought. So We turned off our payments to ensure that we're still able to make those quarterly, in this case, quarterly payments to our investors. So there's no interruption there. Stuff like that, we're being a little bit more hands-on now. So we're sure that, we're marketing heavier. We're doing everything we can to increase the occupancy there. A lot of that stuff, it happens. We do our best to do thorough due diligence, but even us, we even sometimes we're surprised. But we have all these fail safes to make sure that all of our investors are getting their returns as we projected. We turned off the payments to ourselves in order so we can make sure that there's no interruption in that.
Thank you. Did you have to put in place anything when it comes to safety and security for the tenants to safeguard the investment as well? Like, for example, to put gates or, I don't know, to put better locks or, I don't know, because I think a lot of these mobile homes have relatively poor locking systems. I'm not sure. You can correct me if that's not true.
We put on cameras in a lot of our parks. Really just kind of keeping our ears to the ground in our areas. And in one of our parks, we have had multiple break-ins, so that's a big, to-do list for our community manager to make sure to call the cops whenever that happens, to really support people as best as we can, to communicate with people in the park. Hey, keep an eye out, watch out, do everything you can to prevent this from happening. Nothing's 100%, but stuff like that really, really seems to help people.
Thank you. Tell us where property investors can connect with you.
Oh, great. Our website's wcginvestments.com. We have a free guide on there, like why mobile home parks. You can schedule a call with us if you're curious about it, and we'd love to talk with you. And then other than that, any social media, Facebook, Instagram, Tim Woodbridge, relatively easy to find.
Thank you. Follow me for more property wealth strategies.